Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his soon coming? No, I'm not ashamed of it. Come, Lord Jesus, come right now.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning in for our midweek broadcast. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. He's entitled today's message, "Where is the Church?" Now let's join the study.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be beginning in verse 22 in just a moment. Remember, as we're traveling through this incredible epistle, one of the most personal and intimate and my favorite epistle, one of my favorite epistles of Paul. And the reason is because it reveals his heart more than any of the other epistles. He just opens up his heart wide to us, and he shares everything that's there. It's just, to me, it's amazing. And we know that the church at Corinth, I mean, they were a divided church. They were a backslidden church, if you will. They were a carnal church. They were abusing the gifts of the Spirit. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were into incest, sexual, you name it, they were doing it, okay? But Paul founded this church and loves this church. And he's bringing correction. So 1 Corinthians was definitely corrective in narrative. But now we're faced here as we're finishing out this epistle, a couple more sermons, I feel, however the Lord directs. But remember now, Paul, the church that he loves, is under attack. And false apostles, those who have transformed themselves or disguised as ministers of Satan, they put on sheep clothing, but the truth of the matter is they're ravenous wolves inside. They've gained entrance into the church. So Paul is now defending himself, or he's actually forced to defend himself. And so he's writing and penning these words this morning. What is really sad about this church at Corinth, it's no different today, but you see, as we learned last Sunday, they gladly tolerated the false teachers, didn't they? Yeah, remember how we closed down on the cost of tolerance? Like Paul told him, said, you know, if they skin you alive, they eat you alive, they devour you, they fleece you, man, they slap you in the face, you tolerate it. You put up with it. Paul says, no, I can't let that happen to you because I love you too much. Now, church, listen to me. This message, the reason your heart has to be open is because there's an urgency in my heart and has been since January. And I'm going to express that urgency this morning in these verses that we're about to cover. You know, I don't know all that's happening, of course, in the spiritual realm. I'm just like you. I try to discern it by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Amen? But there is an urgency that's pushing me. I don't know if it's the preparation that we're about to undergo for the whirlwind. I don't know. But I know that if there is a text that you need to hear, it is this text this morning. So you keep your hearts open. I want to talk to you about the church, all of us, the church corporate, you know. In other words, where is the church? Say that with me. Where is the church? We're going to find out in just a minute. Now listen, remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was threatening the church, he was locking men and women up into prison and so forth. And on the road to Damascus, the Lord appears to him, the Shekinah glory of God, Jesus Christ is right there. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And there, of course, we know the story how God himself led Paul to the Lord. In other words, he was born from above. He's blinded. And he goes there into Damascus and so forth. And the Bible tells us how God spoke unto Ananias and said, I want you to go and find Paul. And when you do, I want you to tell him this. He said in Acts 9:15, the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine, meaning Paul, to bear my name unto the Gentiles and unto kings and unto the children of Israel. Here it comes. For I will show Paul how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Did Paul, the great apostle, did he suffer for Jesus? Oh, my Lord. the verses from verse 23 and following as we're getting ready to learn, do you know that Paul is going to list 23, I believe I counted correctly, 23 experiences. Now, why would Paul list all of his suffering? What was the purpose behind that? The reason that Paul recounted all of the things that he had gone through was, yes, to give a record and prove his apostleship to the false teachers and to the church. But more than that, it was to remember that the false teachers, what were they doing at Corinth? They brought in a different Jesus, a different gospel, under a different spirit. Remember that? And so Paul is saying, obviously, as then and as today, these false teachers were saying, you know, Paul is boasting about the things that he's done and so forth. But you know what? You know, he suffered. But you know what? The truth of the gospel really is, we don't have to suffer for the Lord. There's no suffering if you follow Jesus. That's a direct lie, isn't it? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, and yes, and all who desire to live godly for Jesus will suffer persecution in this life. And it goes on, and Paul writes, and he says, for evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse and worse and worse. So they were spreading these lies and so forth. So as we look at beginning in verse 22, this morning I want you to remember one thing, as I do teach, as I always do, I'm speaking the truth to you in love. I'm not beating on the sheep, you know, or any of those things. I love the sheep. However, the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen? So listen carefully to our text. Paul now starts out, he's defending himself again, and he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Well, I am too. Are they the seed of Abraham? Well, so am I. That tells us, number one, that these people, they were all Jews, probably the Judaizers, and we know that they means the false teachers, the false apostles of Christ and so forth, those who had disguised themselves over in chapter 11 of verse 13. So they were the deceitful workers who labor, but they don't labor for Jesus, they labor for the devil. They weren't ambassadors of Christ, as I said last Sunday, they were ambassadors of Satan, and they certainly weren't endued with power from upon high, but they were energized by the father of all lies, Satan himself. They were his ministers, okay? So we identified them. And then it says in verse 23, are they, that's again speaking of the false teachers, are they ministers of Christ? And then Paul says, I speak like I'm a fool, which means literally what he's saying is, would you bear with me just for a moment? I'm going to speak like I'm a crazy guy, okay? In other words, I'm going to speak to you like, if my terminology would be, the cheese is slid off the cracker, but I want you to bear with me, all right? And that's what he's saying here. So are they ministers of Christ? Well, I'm a fool. I am more. I am more than they are is what he's saying. Now look what he's going to tell us, his record, something he never talked about. He said, I am more in labors more abundant. Paul was a worker, wasn't he? Remember in Acts chapter 20, whenever the false teachers were accusing him, Paul tells the elders of the church at Ephesus, yeah, listen, I coveted no man's silver or gold. I coveted no man's apparel. He says, I worked with these very own hands to supply my own need and the needs of those who labor with me. So Paul said, no. I have worked as a tent maker. I was furnishing my own ministry, and few churches truly helped Paul. And so here he goes on, and he says here, not only labors more abundantly, but look at this one. Stripes above measure, prisons more frequently. How about this? He says, deaths often. You know, it says in chapter 6, verse 9, that death was Paul's daily companion. He never knew. Wherever he went, he woke up and said, this today could be my very last day. But it's the last one here in verse 24 that breaks your heart, or it should. Look what it says. From the Jews, meaning Paul's own people, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. You know, can you imagine your own people? Five times they took Paul. And when they gave the stripes, when the Jews did that, they would strip the man down, they would put his hands above the head, tying them to a pole. And then they would take this wicked, horrible lash that they had, and they would give 13 lashes on the front chest of the individual, and then 26 on the very back. Now, if you add all of that up, that's five times, that's 195 lashes that Paul received in his lifetime. And you see, the problem with reading a text, you know, like I've always told you, I see a movie. When I read the Bible, I see action figures and tears and all whatever's happening. I see Jesus laying hands on the sick. I see that in my mind. I'm not saying I'm, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm weird, all right? But the fact of the matter is, we don't see Paul's blood, do we? Did he bleed? Listen to me. He hurt. He bled. He was a bloody mess. Do you understand? His flesh wasn't supernatural. No more than our flesh is supernatural. Do you have a soft skin? Huh? Yes, just like me, just like Paul. They ripped Paul to pieces. You know, it's one thing to receive those lashes one time in your life, okay? Because you know what it was like. But five times? You see, what the Jews would do, they would count. It was 39 minus one. Instead of 40, 39 means, okay, we give you mercy. So one, they would count them. Two, Paul heard that. Three, four, five, just one more, Paul. 39. He did that five times. Can you imagine what Paul went through his heart and his mind? Here I am strung up again. Here I am. My body is so scarred. My body is so messed up. And here I am. Do you know how long it takes when you have received that kind of punishment to heal? The bruises, the things, the infections, all the things that happened to you. Man, listen, Paul's body was a ripped up, bloody mess. And he says, and three times, it's one thing to be beaten five times by the Jews, but three times I was beaten with rods. That was the Romans. That's what they did. Remember in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas, you know, they were arrested and they were put in the dungeon, the lowest part of prison. It was midnight. It was dark. And they've stretched Paul and Silas out in the stocks. They would spread the individual's legs as wide apart as they could till they were just almost screaming. And then they were in the stocks. And then they would bend the individual this way, as far as they could pull and stretch you and put you in stocks this way. And then they would beat you while you were in the stocks. That happened to Paul, it says, three times. Remember what Paul and Silas did at midnight after their beating? They were all bloody. They started singing a hymn, didn't they? And it says in the Greek, it talks about how when Paul and Silas started singing, you know, yes, Jesus loves me. When all the, of course, they didn't sing that one, but it went all through the prison in the darkness. And it says, and the prisoners heard it. In the Greek, it would say, they heard beautiful singing, singing unto the Lord. There they are. They can't move. They can't do anything. This happened to Paul three times. Do you know what the Romans did? The Roman lictors, that's what they were called. They carried a bundle of rods, and in the middle of the rod there was also another instrument. It was called the axe. Now, it was one thing for the Roman lictor to come in and beat you with the rods. It was horrible because they were merciless. But if you were condemned, you were beaten with the rods, then they would grab the axe that they brought with the bundle and they would remove your head. That's what Paul faced all those times for Jesus' sake. And then it says, and once I was stoned. We know where that happened. That was Acts chapter 14, remember? When he was stoned and was dragged out of the city by the Jews, and he was left for dead, and all the disciples gathered around him. And as he did, it says that Paul just rose up. He says, three times I was shipwrecked. Look at this. A night and a day I have been in the deep, meaning floating out there in the sea. Can you imagine? Or maybe it was on a piece of whatever of the ship. I don't know. But can you imagine being a day and a night out in the middle? I mean, all those sea creatures. I mean, well, never mind about me, but boy, that bothers me. And not only that, it says in journeys often. If you look in the back of your Bibles, you know, all the maps that you have, you should have maybe the journeys of Paul. And I was trying to figure it out last night. I believe, and I could be wrong, that Paul traveled on foot over 5,000 miles preaching, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In journeys often, perils of waters, meaning that's when he would cross rivers and so forth. A danger, that word peril, danger, of course, danger of robbers, dangers of my own countrymen, dangers of the Gentiles, meaning the non-believers, dangers in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in other words, people who weren't Christians, probably the Jewish Christians, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, often hunger. You know, I was looking for that, the only place I could find where Paul was really hungry was in Acts chapter 27 and 28. Remember when the shipwreck before it was wrecked and so forth? And Paul says, hey guys, we haven't had any food in 2 weeks, and I fear that this ship is going to be lost. And he said, you better eat now and take your nourishment. Can you imagine 2 weeks without any food in America? I mean, come on. I mean, where did you stop this morning on the way in? Did you get that donut, or did you get that, what's that called, Whataburger, that little sausage and cheese and whatever? Did you get a Big Mac? Did you have breakfast? I mean, think about that. If you had to go home hungry right now, couldn't eat for 2 more weeks, are you listening to me? Man, that's what happened with Paul. I look and I say, dear Lord. And it says, let's see, hunger, okay, thirst, fastings often. Now, that's not for Christianity's sake. He was meaning he didn't have any food, okay? He was in poverty. And then in the cold, he was freezing, cold, for a lack of clothing, and nakedness, see? Paul says, I was clothed, but I was clothed in rags. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians from Ephesus. When he wrote 1 Corinthians, let me share with you his condition in 1 Corinthians 4:11. Paul writes to them, and he says, to this present hour, we both hunger, we thirst, we're poorly clothed, we're beaten, we're homeless, we labor, meaning to the point of exhaustion. We work with our own hands, being reviled, in other words, abused verbally by others. He says, we bless, being persecuted, well, we endure. Being defamed or slandered, we entreat. We have been made as the filth or the scum of the world, the off-scouring of all things until now, the off-scouring. Paul said, let me tell you how they treat me. I am treated as a piece of garbage. I believe Paul, next to Jesus Christ, was the greatest man that ever walked the face of this earth, one of the most brilliant men that ever walked the face of this earth. And here he says, I'm treated like garbage. Now listen, this happened. This was Paul's life after his conversion on the Damascus Road. And how did Paul end his life up after all these experiences? You know, he wrote 4 or 5 bestsellers, right? And then, no, Paul ended up without a winter coat, without his parchments, in the Mamertine prison. That would be the last prison he was ever in. There he penned 2 Timothy. That's where Paul ended up. No money, penniless, all alone. Yet he served the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever you go through trials, if you want to call what Paul went trials, that's incredible suffering. Do you think the devil ever spoke to Paul? Whenever you're going through it, when you just don't know about tomorrow, do you hear those voices? Do you think, Paul, that whenever he was shipwrecked, he would spend a night and a day in the deep? Do you think maybe the devil came up to him and said, woo, Paul, you really kind of prune-like, you know? Yeah, I mean, if you spent that much, thank you. I want to make sure you're here this morning. No, come on. Or Paul, I mean, if you were really a child of God, if Jesus really even cared anything about you, why would he abandon you out here? All those stripes, Paul, all those beatings. Are you telling me that Jesus really cares about you? Isn't that the way the devil does it? You think that whenever he was floating out in the sea and he was, I don't know if he's holding onto something, we're not told, I don't know. But I know when it gets dark at night and you're in the water, I don't know about you, but that freaked me out. You know what I mean? And the devil comes and whispers to Paul, hey, Paul, didn't you pen, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me? Paul, did you pen that? That we're more than conquerors? You don't look like a conqueror to me. Do you see what I'm getting at? See, Paul, there he was, all the things that he went through. I'm going to tell you something. If you and I, if we could go back and if we saw Paul at the end of his life, before he entered into the prison in Rome, if we watched him walk toward us and we toward him, we would stop. We would be in shock at his countenance, his face, his arms, his disfigurement, the beatings, the broken nose, the teeth that were missing, the stripes that cut his skin didn't even look like real skin. His back didn't even look real. It was a mass of scars. We'd look at him and we'd go, who are you? He says, I am Paul. You know what he told the church in Galatia at the very end? In Galatians 6:17, Paul says, don't bother me, no one anymore. You leave me alone now. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean when Paul says, I bear the marks of the Lord? At that time in Paul's life, in that generation, when you were a marked man, it was a sign of who you belonged to. It was a sign of ownership. He said, no, these are scars, but they're Jesus' scars. For I'm in the body of Christ. Are you with me? You know, where is the church today? What marks are we bearing? Whose marks do we truly bear today? With all the false teaching and all the comfortableness that's in the church today, the easy believism and all the rest of it, how are we marked? We're certainly not marked like Paul. Paul lists 23 experiences that we just covered, loved one. You know, listen, that was his life. It wasn't our life. Thank God. I don't want to go through those things. However, if we did, how long would you last? How long, loved one, would we truly last? When we live in the church age today, when we complain if we serve, we complain if you're making me feel guilty about giving. Oh, I'm under grace, you know, da, 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 da. No, listen, we know nothing about this kind of hardship. I'm thankful for that. However, the church is really soft. Do you understand? We're soft. If the heat wasn't in here, I'm not staying in this hot building. Have you ever preached outside in the summer? Yeah, you're going to sweat. No, listen, we complain about everything. We don't know anything about the hardship like Paul's talking about. And I'm not saying I want us to. The only dangerous thing that we do is, you know, we go, oh my, I have to serve in the nursery or something. Do you understand? I mean, that's our danger. Now, in light of all that, let me ask you a question. In all that Paul went through, did Paul pen 2 Corinthians 2:14, where he says, thanks be unto God who always, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Wherever he leads us, he leads us in triumph. Does that fit here? Well, yes, it does. That's the word of God. But Paul was saying, when I was shipwrecked out there, it doesn't matter. God's leading me in triumph. I belong to him. Do you understand what I'm getting at? The beating from the Romans and from the Jews and the stonings, Paul would say, no, my Lord, I'm bloody and I'm hurting and Luke has to sew me up, but I'm being led in triumph because I belong to Christ Jesus. Do you see what wimps we truly are today? Come on, church. Man, listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, dear Lord. And not only that, look what he says right there in verse 28. And beside the other things, and we don't know what the other things are because he doesn't tell us, but he says, beside the other things, look what happens. What comes upon me, that word means the pressure. What comes upon me daily, every day of Paul's life. And he says, you know what it is? It's my deep concern. That means my deep love, my deep care for how many churches? For every church, for every Christian, every lost person. Do you understand? That's what Paul was saying. He says, man, when it comes upon me, it bears me down. It never leaves me. There's never a vacation from it. Day and night, 24/7, it just is on me. It never shakes away. And that word deep, my deep concern, that word deep is the same word used for the bottomless pit, never ending. It's the bottomless pit, the abuso. He says, that's my heart. He says, my heart loves all the churches, all the believers. I want everybody saved, Paul is saying, so much, it's never ending. It's deep, the deep love of Paul. You see, Paul's truly his greatest suffering. He listed all those experiences, but Paul's greatest suffering was the burden that he had in his heart for all of the churches, okay? He says there, look at Paul speaks of his love now for the churches, his care. Verse 29, Paul says, who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. That's one of the toughest verses to understand in this letter. And what Paul is saying there when he says, who is weak? I'm not weak. He's not talking about himself. The word stumble there, remember, is scandalizo in the Greek. Scandalizo, it means someone who comes and offers the bait to lure you away. That's what the false teachers were doing.
Once again, we're out of time, but you can hear the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's program. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks so much for listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast,
please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.